This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation where there is great discussion, fervent discussion, constant discussion, ubiquitous discussion about wokeness. What is it? And is it good for America or is it terrible for America? More specifically, is it good for the Democratic Party, a great segment of which has declared allegiance to wokeness, it would appear? And what should the Democratic Party and the political system generally do about its claims? All of these are questions that are confronted in a phenomenally powerful and tremendously persuasive new book by somebody I admire greatly. John McWhorter is a professor at Columbia University. He hosts a podcast called Lexicon Valley. My daughter, who is a high school teacher, turned me on to this podcast. She is a tremendous fan. So am I. His new book is called Woke Racism: How a New Religion Has Betrayed Black America. A new religion? So what is it, John? Are you anti-religious?
I'm not anti-religious as long as it isn't a bad religion. And what's going on here is that you've got this religion that sanctions defenestrating, abusing, firing, and stripping the honors off of people in the name of something that's supposed to be a larger good. But the larger good isn't exactly helping people who need help. The larger good is showing that you know that systemic racism exists. You're just showing each other. It's classic virtue signaling. And in the meantime, you've got this conception of white privilege, which is handled exactly the way fundamental Christianity handles original sins, this taint that you can never get rid of. And there's the sense that if people don't agree with you, then you have to chase them out of the room. They can't be around you. They have to be fired. They're repulsive. They have to be shamed. All of that is the way heretics were treated not too terribly long ago in many quarters. So these people don't know it because they don't use the particular words we associate with religion to describe themselves. They think they're seeking social justice, and so that makes it different. But this is a religion, and it's a religion that's trying to run the state, and that worries me.
I'll tell you what, and what you just said triggers, you'll pardon the expression, this particular response, is you make the case that in original sin, in Judeo-Christian religions, there's no way you can ever remove that taint. And of course, Christianity, you could say the whole New Testament does give you a means of removing that taint. Isn't that a difference between this religion and the religion of wokeness and the religion of based on the Bible, New and Old Testament?
Well, for one thing, the actual religion that you're talking about includes forgiveness. There is a more constructive approach to these sorts of things. But also within this new religion, of course, the closest you can come to compensating for, acknowledging, getting past your white privileges, that although it'll never go away, you show that you know racism exists. You make sure other people know that about you. You talk about your complicitness. And that means that your white privilege isn't going to go away, but at least in acknowledging it, you become something less than a morally perverted person. I find that parallel very interesting because it seems so cruel in a way, and it seems to not really have a whole lot of usefulness if you think about how indirect the connection is between this performed sense of complicity and actually going out and changing the world. We're so used to this sort of thing, we forget what a perversion it is of what social activism is supposed to be.
How have your colleagues at Columbia responded to your work, to your new book, Woke Racism: How a New Religion Has Betrayed Black America?
You know, Michael, I don't have that story for mundane reasons. It's partly that because of the pandemic, you know, none of us have actually been on campus, and also the particularities of my job are such that I'm not part of a faculty who all work together and see each other every day. I teach in a small linguistics program. So I don't know. I'm sure there are people at and connected to Columbia who think I'm the devil's spawn. I know definitely that there are just as many of them who are quietly telling me from the sidelines that they understand what I'm trying to do. But we'll have to see. I only really go back to campus next semester. At this point, the jury's out on that. But, you know, we can imagine that there's a certain kind of person who thinks of me as a bad actor. But you and I both know that they're wrong.
No, of course we do. And a part of the... You mentioned the phrase, the jury is out on that. The jury is out right now on a... the case of the killers of Ahmed Arbery.
And good transition.
I beg pardon?
I said that was a very good transition. Because
well, let's hope it's a good transition. I assume he will be found guilty. The defense is feeble. That
yeah.
And again, this is a tragic shooting, and I don't think either you or I have any trouble at all acknowledging that it probably involved very potent elements of racism.
Mm-hmm.
And your objection to what you call the elect, which of course is another deliberately a term meant to deliberately echo valid religions, or at least religions that have an honorable history, the elect doesn't believe that you require that kind of proof to assume racism, which is part of the problem that you're highlighting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the idea is that racism is baked into society. The idea is that racism is baked into people. And if you say that you're not a racist, then it really just means that you are, because it means that there's something about yourself that you refuse to face. And it's assumed that that thing is certainly there. It couldn't be that it isn't there. And so you really can't win. And these people aren't doing this just to be annoying. They're doing this because they really do believe that there's a certain sainted beneficence in doing what they call this work. And it's also true that, yeah, racism is around, and not just, you know, microaggressions, but things like what happened to Ahmaud Arbery. That's a complicated story, but his race certainly had a major part to do in what happened to him. But the general story that we're told, that the cops mow down black men and let whites get by with a smack on the hand, that's simply not true. We have a really, really messed up sense of how to talk about the cops and race in this country based on an awful lot of twisted facts, on distorted opinions, and frankly often lack of appeal to actual facts. And part of what woke racism is about is the fact that we are required to pretend that the cops are biased against black people and kill black people where they wouldn't kill white ones, when many more white men die at the hands of the cops every year than black. And it's a complicated subject, but it colors how we see the Arbery case, because many people are just seeing it as people like him dying for no reason simply because of the color of their skin. I think that vastly overstates what even his story is telling us, as much of a tragedy as it is.
Okay, one of the things that I know that you contend in the book that is profoundly controversial is the notion that racism, by definition, does not need to be directed at one group or from one group, that it is possible to have anti-white racism. Today there was a statement on MSNBC by a guy named Yossi Ross, who's a Native American activist, who says many of us are still waiting for white Americans to bring some value. In other words, that there is no value to the culture that white Americans brought with them. Your comment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's a performance. I mean, that's a great line, and there are a lot of people. I hate to say this about a Native American. That's not my group, so that's me stepping beyond my pay grade. But there are people, I refer to the black ones, who have built an identity around that kind of professional alienation to the point that you would say something that nonsensical. I think that, you know, white people definitely have their problems, but there are certainly things of value that I'm sure that person was wearing on his wrist and what was in his pocket and the clothes. You know, he knows. That's a performance. But, you know, the whole issue...
We need to take a break. We will get back to that. I'm very happy that we have more with John McWhorter, the author of the brilliant and powerful new book, Woke Racism, How a New Religion Has Betrayed Black America. Posted at our website, michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back.
More of Michael Medved in a moment. We'll be right back.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Privilege and an honor to speak with Professor John McWhorter of Columbia University. He is most recently the author of the best-selling book, Woke Racism, How a New Religion Has Betrayed Black America. And there is bracing relevance and clarity on every page. Check out Woke Racism. It's at our website at michaelmedved.com. John, we are right in the midst of the aftermath of the reaction, of course, to the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. and soon we're going to all be reacting to the Ahmed Arbery killing verdict. It's not a verdict on Arbery, of course. It's a verdict on his killers. Do you see any defense for the statement of the just a couple of hours ago, the president of the NAACP, Derek Johnson, appeared on MSNBC and said that the verdict on Kyle Rittenhouse was, quote, worse than the Emmett Till trial?
Well, you know, once again, these are performances. I'm quite sure that he knows that that's not true. The problem with things like that is that what got Rittenhouse acquitted was basic aspects of what the law said. The idea that that verdict was supposed to be about the morality of that guy and being at the rally in the first place is as if we're writing a novel rather than dealing with a legal system that's designed to address things in detail. And to pretend not to understand that in favor of a certain kind of rhetorical score, well, he feels that that's his job as being part of a society where our most important task is to show that we know racism exists. But there's an extent to which if we want to be really constructive and we want to really change the world, which I want to just like everybody else, we have to learn to look past things like that as performances because that's all they are.
It's a terrific way to put it into perspective. Let me ask you, one of the fundamental propositions of the woke elect, who you write about in your book, is that racism is immutable, it is permanent, it is insoluble in the long term. Do you believe that in spite of all of the agitation that has occurred, particularly since the death of George Floyd, that despite all of that, that we continue to make progress racially in the United States of America?
Yes, we always do. And it's funny because in the book I have this passage that I knew was a little bit risky, where I wrote a year and a half ago, by the time you read this, you'll notice that the people who were complaining about the state of race relations after George Floyd will look at a whole lot of progress happen and pretend that it didn't. And I said, while you're reading this book, you will see this. I was writing that in 2020 about people reading the book in late 2021. And that is exactly what has happened. Nobody will admit anything changes. Even after this enormous racial reckoning, et cetera, it gets better all the time. Not only just individually in terms of person-to-person relations, but frankly, the idea that it's always going to be baked into the structure, it's uncreative, and it's only something somebody would settle for saying, once again, because it's a great performance. But actually, we get better and better. America has always been a rehearsal. And the things that are called systemic racism, I don't like that term, but the things do exist. Those inequities can be battled. But we have to be more creative than, one, thinking that you battle them by yelling at white people and stripping them of their jobs, and two, pretending to think that something we're engaged in trying to change actually never will because it sounds good to have a tantrum. That's not what Dr. King was thinking his heirs were going to do.
You also wonder, what did people think was going to happen with Barack Obama? I mean, that was a history-changing moment where I think many people, regardless of whether they voted for Obama or not, were just taken, knocked over, gobsmacked by the reality of electing a black male president of the United States. Why did that appear after 8 years to be somewhat anticlimactic?
Yeah, it was interesting. As soon as he was elected, there was a flood of black punditry insisting that his election didn't mean that racism wasn't over and claiming that anybody said that it did. The idea was, you know, Obama being in doesn't mean racism is over, as if anyone had ever said it. It was a very significant thing, though, that twice that man was elected in a country where racism is supposedly so baked in. What derailed that from having the effect that I definitely hoped it would was the invention of Twitter and that kind of social media. People tend to forget Obama is elected in 08. Twitter became default in 09. And that changed the whole landscape of the way we talk about things, such that when Trayvon Martin happened and then when Michael Brown and Ferguson happened, there was a nationwide debate, including, unfortunately, massive distortions of what happened in both cases, that there wouldn't have been before because the media just wouldn't have made it so easy to have those debates and for the debates to reach that fever pitch. And so I think by about 2014, a lot of people thought that nothing really had happened on the race scene because of the interpretation of those two events, instead of really taking in that we elected a black man president two times. And, yeah, every now and then somebody would say something tacky about him, but, you know, life isn't perfect. And it really did show that something had really changed. I still believe that it showed that, including the fact that the person who came after him happened to be Trump. That doesn't prove that nothing was significant between 08 and 2016. But, of course, we're supposed to pretend that it does.
Okay, you just mentioned the T word. My question for you is that moving ahead politically, and this is not asking you to endorse a candidate or even a political party, would you agree with the proposition that it will be better for black America and, in fact, better for America as a whole if politics is less attached to, that it's less of a given that if you're black, you're going to be Democratic, that there will be more of an open-mindedness and a competition for black support between the two parties?
Definitely. There is a mantra among politically connected black people that the Democrats exploit black people. And the idea is that you say colorful things about it as if the Democrats don't stop doing that, we black people are going to do something. Well, what? The only thing you can do is take your vote somewhere else, and it will be better to not take it to a spoiler. And what it really comes down to is, and I think I was quite public about having an utter and complete contempt for Donald Trump, so I could not consider anybody like him or connected to him, nothing of the sort. But if there was a Republican who was, you know, old school, sophisticated, concerned, and actually had black people's benefit in mind, I've never voted Republican before, but I would vote for him and urge the black community to. If the alternative was a Democratic candidate who tilted so far to what we're now calling the woke left, then it was clear that nothing was going to happen for actual black people other than rhetoric and slogans and fists up in the air, et cetera. There's a difference between that and helping real people. So, yeah, it should depend on who in the party seems to, Jewish people say, who's good for the Jews. It shouldn't be who's perfect, but who's good for the black people. And if it's a Republican, that person should get votes.
And that, I'll tell you, somebody that is good for the black people and for the American people is John McWhorter. What a pleasure. The new book is called Woke Racism, How a New Religion Has Betrayed Black America, written by leading heretic professor at Columbia, John McWhorter. Godspeed to you, sir.
Long-time caller, long-time listener.
The Michael Medved Show.
You're one of the most brilliant guys on the air, TV or radio.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
It was just, I guess for lack of better, just carnage, likening it to a war zone.
Waukesha, Wisconsin Fire Chief Steve Howard describing what he saw when a Christmas parade held Sunday in Waukesha, Wisconsin turned into a nightmare. Five people were killed and more than 40 others were injured after an SUV tore through barricades and slammed into crowds. Mayor Sean Riley calling it a senseless tragedy. The Coast Guard is announcing more than a half a billion dollars in drug busts. The crew of the the Cutter Hamilton offloading more than 13 tons of cocaine and nearly 2 tons of marijuana Monday at Port Everglades in South Florida. Target is making its Thanksgiving store closures permanent. The retailer shutting its doors last Thanksgiving for safety concerns during the pandemic and started offering holiday discounts earlier in October. USA Radio News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Michael Medved show, we were speaking earlier about the importance of learning the real Thanksgiving, and basically it's crucial to know the truth about America's past, and yes, not to obscure some of the difficult aspects, but to know it all. And that's why the Medved History Store is so important, particularly this time of year. There's another reason. It's a great Christmas gift. And I know we're just, but we're coming up to Black Friday, right? Isn't that the idea? And, that would be a great opportunity to get a head start by ordering access to everything from the Medhead History Store. And, you do that at the cost of 22 cents a day, and you can get a gift certificate that certifies it for somebody else, a MedHead membership that gives that person not only access to this radio show 24/7, commercial free anytime you want, but that also provides you with free access to all of the, downloads that you can get from the MedVed History Store. Give it a shot. Check it out. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look at the idea of a MedHead Plus membership and the ideal Christmas gift for anyone who wants to dig a little bit deeper into history. Now, of course, when people are so profoundly saturated in their concept of history, they particularly need this basic corrective and reacquaintance with the truth. There was a remarkable performance by a comedian, and she's a former comedy writer for Seth Meyers, a very likable television persona, and she has a show on NBC and on the streaming service Peacock. Her name is Amber Ruffin, and she had her own point of view. This is clip 12. On the Rittenhouse verdict over the weekend. Listen.
not guilty on all charges. All charges. So I can't believe I have to say this, but
she's breaking down. She's getting ready to sob.
It's not okay for a man to grab a rifle, travel across state lines, and shoot three people, and then walk free. It's not okay for the judicial system to be blatantly and obviously stacked against people of color. It's not okay for there to be an entirely different set of rules for white people. But I don't care about Kyle Rittenhouse. I don't care about that racist judge. And I don't care about how up that jury must be. White people have been getting away with murder since time began.
Okay. Can anyone explain how this is about white people getting away with murder when most of the murder of black people, the overwhelming percentage, it's over 90%, is other black people? And sometimes people do get away with it. But if you think this was murder, well, then you think there was a profound injustice. How can you claim for a moment, and again, I'm open to a caller on this, and I'll listen. I'll listen respectfully. Somebody explain to me how any reasonably sentient human being can actually believe that this judgment was about racism. None of the victims were black. The perpetrator wasn't black. The judge wasn't black. How does this involve race? In what sense does the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse say anything about American jurisprudence other than the fact that, yes, sometimes there are situations in which you can recognize that self-defense requires taking forceful action or else you will encounter, as became so clear on the stand, that when Gage Grosskreutz was asked directly, did he raise his gun at you before you raised your gun at him? And the answer was no, he did not. He only raised his gun and then fired after Grosskreutz was aiming at him. Now, Grosskreutz says he didn't mean or wasn't intending to fire. Well, okay, is it not reasonable for a guy, whether he's white or black, and this guy happens to be white, to assume that if you are carrying a Glock and you're going to point it at somebody, and that guy also has a gun, there's a very good chance he's going to fire back at you? Grosskreutz was fortunate that he survived. There's more, of course. And for instance, Cenk Uygur. I've been on the air with Cenk Uygur, and he's a very articulate guy, but every once in a while you get, well, nuttiness. Like this. This is clip 3, again, on the Rittenhouse verdict from Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks.
The right wing in this country is crazed. They're crazed. They can't wait to shoot people. Which leads me to the biggest culprits of all, the Rittenhouse fans or supporters. Yes, that includes all of them. All of the Alex Jones, the Tim Pools, the Joe Rogans, the millions of crazed Rambo wannabe right wingers in this country. Who are like, oh yeah, why don't you just bring weapons? Self-defense, murder. They just want to kill. So they go into the middle of protests with these weapons, looking to pick a fight, and then the minute Rittenhouse actually shoots these people, they're ecstatic. They love that he killed them. That's why they're his fans. What is there to be a fan of? The right wing in this country is steeped in violence. They're soaked in blood, and they can't wait to kill.
Tell us how you really feel. again, look into your heart. I mean, out there, there might be some people who are listening right now who can't wait to kill. I think there are very, very few. There are very, very few. And by the way, that includes Kyle Rittenhouse. He didn't come out wanting to kill. He was, according to all testimony and all interviews, extraordinarily upset at the riots that were afflicting the town in which his father, in which he worked, in which his father lived. And the idea that steeped in blood because you think that a riot where property is being destroyed and people are being beaten and basically chaos and businesses are being ruined, to try to stop that means you're steeped in blood and you want murder. Murder, murder, murder. There's also Van Jones, who is usually a much more, I don't want to say moderate, but a much more sensible, coherent commentator. We will get to what he has to say, because there's so much more of this, and it's extraordinary. And honestly, my plea out there is to anyone who is thinking of trying to identify with some of the positive aspects of the American left, try to find them. They're not very positive right now. If you listen to the reaction to the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse, if this verdict wasn't just, what would have been a just verdict? 1-800-955-1776. We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
Your daily dose of debate. It's the Michael MedVet Show.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
And we'll go in just a moment to callers who have an idea for a more fair verdict than the one that was reached. But Van Jones, and again, he sometimes can be extraordinarily persuasive and smart, but this comment, and there's something about this case, and I'm not sure what it is. If you have some idea, you can help me with that too. 1-800-955-1776. But for Van Jones to be so detached from reality, suggesting that this is a pattern of white vigilante violence, that there is a great deal of white vigilante violence, I do have no desire to be an apologist or anything of the kind for some of the real white supremacism that exists in this country. It happens. It's there. There are hate crimes that are committed. Many of the hate crimes, in fact, the largest recipient of the hate crimes happens to be members of my own people. It's Jewish people. But the idea that there is vigilante violence, really? Listen to Van Jones. This is clip 16.
But there's a reason that people are upset, and it's that there's a bigger context here. This idea of white vigilante violence is something that we have to wrestle with, and it may not be be done in one single court case, but we've got a pattern now where white men feel that they have the right to enforce the law themselves. When you look at Ahmaud Arbery, when you look at this case, when you look at Trayvon Martin, when you look at the white mob that attacked the Capitol, that somehow there is a group of people that think that they have the right to take the law into their own hands, they can leave their home with guns, and they can enforce their vision of the law on other people.
Okay, to compare Trayvon Martin and Ahmaud Arbery to the Capitol riot, now they're all bad things, right? But one thing about the Capitol rioters, and for goodness sake, for people like me who think that the attack on January 6th was a horrible thing, can we at least acknowledge it would have been far more horrible if they had armed themselves? The people who were storming the Capitol were, by and large, the weapons that they used in fighting the police were horrible enough, but they were bear spray and American flags that were used as spears, Confederate flags that were used as spears. There was very little damage inflicted by firearms except by one of the Capitol policemen. in killing one of the rioters, who everybody knows, Ashley Bobet. Let's go to New York City and to Yehuda. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Thank God, very well.
So, my point I wanted to make, I mentioned this to Nicole Sabina, I believe it's the elite versus the non-elite. And that's really what this is. Most of them, I would ask the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, you know, what has he done to improve the situation in the black community by him, other than coming out and calling this whole thing a white supremacy issue? And as far as the gangbangers, they're all full of, with guns. But see, those gunshots are okay. You know, so this is my issue here, is you have the elite, the corporate media, versus the little guy. That's really what it is. And they're using white supremacy as a cover to push their eliticism on everybody.
Well, you see, again, I don't... When you are speaking, nobody in the so-called elite speaks in favor of the elite. And, by the way, one of the characteristics about America that is different from pretty much everywhere else is in most other countries in all of human history, people love the term elite. They love the term aristocracy. They want to be part of the upper crust. In America, one of the things that is very peculiar in this country is that even people who very much in terms of education, in terms of wealth, in terms of power, in terms of influence, would definitely be in the elites, want to pretend that I am speaking in behalf of the little guy. The idea that Kyle Rittenhouse, I mean, if somebody wants to call any of the people on either side of this dispute, either his victims, Huber or Grosskreutz or Rosenbaum, you want to call any of those people elitists? They're not. Kyle Rittenhouse, certainly not. Yehuda, appreciate your call. They're saying that the Rittenhouse jury, of those 20 jurors who were seated, which was jurors or were alternates, only one was a person of color. And given the fact that in the jury selection process, there's usually a great deal of leeway that is allowed for defense attorneys, they obviously believed, and I think it's reasonable, that because none of the victims were black, and the defendant certainly was not black, would anyone feel that basically you can't get a fair trial if you're white and your jurors are something else? And for the defense attorneys, And for the prosecuting attorneys, who have a great deal of leeway in jury selection, this really was not an issue. What has been an issue and really should be discussed has been the overcharging from the beginning. Because the idea that this could be described by any reasonable person as the equivalent of first-degree murder, as a willful and deliberate homicide, and one that was treated in advance and contemplated in advance and planned in advance by Kyle Rittenhouse, is so illogical and so wrong. Speaking of illogical and wrong, the president of the NAACP, who we mentioned earlier in the show, his name is Derek Johnson. He appeared on MSNBC, and he brought up Emmett Till, who was a 15-year-old boy who was lynched, basically. He was murdered by Ku Klux Klansmen, and this is back in the 1950s, and he was murdered for nothing. He was murdered for he allegedly whistled at or looked lustfully at a white woman. This is what NAACP President Derek Johnson had to say. Clip 17.
It was an injustice. This was worse than the Emmett Till trial. This was worse to so many trials where we know for a fact individuals committed murder, and yet they were not brought to justice. It is unfortunate, but this is America.
Okay. Do you know how unbelievably insulting that is? How unjustified that is in terms of minimizing the horror of the Emmett Till case, of this teenager who was violently murdered and people got away with it? Al Sharpton, of course, had his own conclusion about what the entire process meant. Last word, number 15.
But when you look at the broad message that came out of this, is they have said now that vigilantes can go to protests and kill people and say that they were defending themselves, which puts all Americans, particularly those that want to protest for whatever issue, in danger.
Okay. Can it be clear to anybody who paid any attention to the trial at all, if the protesters, and a great many of them, had not engaged in violence, throwing a rock at Kyle Rittenhouse is engaging in violence. Bopping him with a safe board, struggling with him over his gun. By the way, there's a basic lesson here, and it's not sophisticated. It's not high-end. You don't need a graduate degree to understand this. You don't even need to go to community college. Frankly, you don't even need to go to preschool, though that might help. Basic rule, and this is a public service announcement. If you're dealing with someone with a loaded gun and you start struggling with that person over that loaded gun, and you're grabbing the barrel of said loaded gun, you're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily engaged in a criminal activity or you're necessarily justifying killing. But what you are doing is putting your life in danger by something incredibly stupid, not worthy of a citizen of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vine Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.